Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
What I'm about to tell you on today's episode might save your life. It could save the life of one of your friends or one of your family members. So pay attention. Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast. It's Free for All Friday. So Monday through Thursday, we talk apologetics, theology, do rebuttal videos. Fridays, we talk about whatever I want to talk about. And I have an eclectic array of topics that I'm interested in. Safety and disaster preparedness is one of them. But a lot of the things you prepare for are not necessarily some kind of Armageddon or even some kind of major natural disaster, though they are something to prepare for. A lot of times in life, there are hazards out in the world that are rare, but if we don't know about them, if we don't know about these hazards, they can take us by surprise and can cause serious injury or even death. And the thing is, I don't want you, of course, to be afraid of just going out in the world like, oh, no, there's these unseen things that might kill me. I mean, that's life, right? There's always going to be risks when we go out. But if you can learn about some of these risks and be aware of them and just keep the risk in your back pocket, then if this rare risk does present itself, you'll be equipped and prepared. And you can say, hey, this isn't a great idea. Or, hey, watch out about this. I heard about this on the Council of Trent podcast, which you should subscribe to, by the way. And if you become a premium subscriber, going to trenthornpodcast.com, you get access to a catechism study series, a New Testament study series. You can check all that and more at trenthornpodcast.com. No, I am not expecting you, of course, to share about my podcast and you're trying to warn someone about something that might kill them. But if there's time later, it's never harm to do that. Okay, so here's what I want to talk about on today's show. The title of this episode is There probably is a drowning machine in your local park and you need to watch out for it. What in the world is a drowning machine? Is it like some box that you step into and it fills with water and you drown like the water tanks that Houdini escaped from? No, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about are the hazards that are associated with low head dams. So whenever we think of dams, right, and we think of dams that are dangerous, what are the dangers we think of when it comes to a dam? Usually the dangers with a dam, we think of a dam failure. So we think about a dam breaking or bursting and all the water flowing out from it and flooding the area that's downstream. And regulators for dams here in the United States, that's the primary thing that they're worried about. So we think the dams that are dangerous, right, are the big, tall dams that might fail. Or if you're going on a big, tall dam and you fall off of it or something like that. When we come across a small dam, that would be what's called a low head dam. It's one like if you're looking out at a current or a river or a stream, and you notice a very tiny waterfall. It could be maybe a few feet. Some of them are tall. Some of them could be like 10 or 15 feet tall. It's a big, big drop. But some of them are tiny. Some of them are only 6 inches above the waterline. And it looks like fun. It looks pretty. And if you were in an inner tube or a kayak, you'd think, oh, it'd be fun to just go over this low head dam. But there is a hazard associated with these kinds of dams. A hydraulic current is created when the water overflows one of these dams and makes this small drop. It creates a circular current that can entrap people. So here's a description of low head dams and the hazard they pose that comes in the Indiana Department of Natural Resources. This is what it says. A low head dam is a man-made obstruction typically built within a river or stream channel and spanning from bank to bank. Many variations exist among the thousands of low head dams on streams and rivers throughout the United States, but they generally have water flowing across the entire length of the top of the dam, are from 1 to about 15 feet tall. They store a minimal amount of water below the stream bank level. They do not typically provide flood reduction storage. So these dams were not created to hold back large bodies of water. They're not designed to prevent floods. Most of them, and I'll get into the history of them, most of them were created to power mills, actually, in the 19th century. So it goes on to say, why are they dangerous? Low head dams can be deceivingly dangerous. At times, the water around them appears tranquil and inviting. However, moderate to high flows over such dams create strong turbulence and recirculating currents that can push victims underwater and then pull them back to the face of the dam in a repeating cycle. These structures have been known to trap unsuspecting victims in dangerous conditions. Even the strongest swimmers and rescuers wearing the best personal flotation devices have drowned at low-head dams. So the problem here, and there's a great YouTube channel called Practical Engineering that goes into this in detail. Definitely check it out. I'll link to it in the description below. That shows when the water flows over the dam, when you have this large body of water moving slowly, and then it picks up speed when it goes over the top of the dam, you have a mixture of supercritical and subcritical flow that creates what's called a hydraulic jump. So it creates this little circular current that that entraps people. And it's actually very dangerous because this circular current generates a lot of air bubbles, and the large amount of air that is in the water reduces buoyancy. So up to a third level, up to a third of the natural buoyancy in the water is reduced by all these air bubbles in this frothing circular current. So you could be wearing a life jacket. In fact, in a survey of fatalities at Lowhead Dam incidents, it showed that half the people who died at the Lowhead Dams trapped in these drowning machines, they were wearing life jackets. So even wearing a life jacket, it could get ripped off of you because of the current, or the jacket will not provide enough buoyancy because there's not enough buoyancy available in the water, and the current will keep you under the water, even only by like a few inches, even though you're wearing a personal flotation device. So not only are they dangerous in that respect, that as a tuber or a kayaker, you could go over a dam or you could fall off of one of these low head dams and think, oh, it's only, what, 6 inches, a foot? It looks tranquil, and get caught in the current. Other people might see you struggling in the water and jump in and try to save you, and then they perish as a result. I think about 25% of the fatalities at Lowhead Dam incidents are would-be rescuers. That's very common. We see this also in confined space hazards. When someone is in an environment where, let's say, they've depleted oxygen, like workers in industrial zones where there's a noxious environment and they can't breathe and they become unconscious, a lot of the fatalities are would-be rescuers that jump down, try to save them, and they become unconscious and they die also. So that's the danger with these low head dams. But if they're so dangerous, why do we have them? Well, the majority of them were built in the 19th century to provide power for water mills, for like grinding flour and you know, things like that. They were fully functioning water mills. And so the vast majority of fatalities for low head dams, if you look at the map of the United States, it seems to be concentrated in the Rust Belt, where you had a lot of these old mills. You have in Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Pennsylvania, also in Minnesota as well is another big one. They have a lot of streams and rivers there. So it's dangerous in that they built these things. They didn't realize the hazard. And over the decades, in fact, over more than a century has passed since the dam was built. In a lot of cases, the deeds to say who owns the dam have been lost. Nobody knows who actually owns that property. And the people who might own the property usually won't come forward because they don't want all the liability issues that are associated with it. So what happens is there's not a law, like a park ranger can't legally tell someone to get off of a low head dam or to stay away from it, because there's no law preventing them or letting people know about the dangers. And a lot of the dams, there's no signage that marks the danger that is present. That's becoming more popular, but it's not well known. All right, so how do you stay safe if you're going tubing or kayaking or canoeing or you're playing at a recreational park? If you're in the river and you're kayaking or tubing and you notice that the stream and the sky seem to meet up ahead, that could be a sign that there is a dam, that the water, essentially, you're going over a small waterfall, and that's dangerous. If you see that, you want to get out of the river and, you know, portage is the name, I guess, the term. You would want to get out, walk down on the bank, so get out way ahead of the dam, and then when you get back in the water, make sure you're far away from the dam. There have been fatalities where people have successfully gotten out of the river, walked down, walked past the dam, put their kayak back in the dam, got in the water, and the current kind of pulled them back into the drowning zone by where the water from the Lowhead Dam is spilling off. So if you get back in, make sure you're very far downstream and you're away from the dam. Frankly, I feel like a safety ordinance should be passed so that they can just put signage or maybe some floating barriers by the dams. And you got to be careful because sometimes you might be at a Lowhead Dam and you go over it with an inner tube and it's totally safe and there is no drowning current, no drowning machine. And there was a fatality where a group of kids went and they did this, And then they came back the next day, but the previous night there had been a bunch of rain, and the rain had increased the river's flow and activated the hydraulic jump and the current that wasn't there the previous day. So increased river flow can change the conditions that are present. So just stay away from them. If someone falls into a drowning machine at a low head dam and they're struggling, do not jump in after them. It's tempting. You want to do that. Don't do it, because you will probably end up being another fatality and you will cause more strain on the rescuers and maybe get one of the rescuers killed. Instead, call 911. Use a line or a rope, a cable, a branch to try to reach out to the person to get them. Don't also approach by boat. You might think, oh, someone's struggling, I'll just get a boat over there and pluck them out of the water. There have also been cases where people in boats, the boats have drifted too close to the low head dam, and the low head dam's flow capsizes these boats. So very dangerous things, something to watch out for. But hey, you know, Labor Day, let's see. Well, actually, this episode's probably aired long after Labor Day, but it's fall. You might still have some good weather to go out and enjoy some tubing or kayaking. Just be safe. That's all. Hey, be safe. Have fun. Now you're aware of this hazard. Don't stress about it anymore. You know about it, and it should help keep you safe. So thank you guys so much, and I hope you have a very blessed weekend.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.